I want to bring to you a message this morning upon a great verse which I have called the golden key to life's mystery. It's found in verse 7 of the 13th chapter of John. What I do, says the Lord Jesus Christ to Peter, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. The Lord Jesus Christ has come to the conclusion of his earthly ministry. Athwart his path is the dark shadow of Calvary. He's going out to the sweat of blood in Gethsemane to be despised and rejected and smitten and spit upon in Pilate's judgment hall. He's going to climb the old hill crag called Golgotha and hang for sinners upon the accursed tree. And before he goes, he gives to Peter a key that will solve all life's mysteries. He says, Peter, what I do, you don't understand. You cannot comprehend. You cannot explain or define what I'm doing now. But Peter, what I'm doing in the present, someday you'll understand. And when the great future unfolds to us the meals of all life's mysteries, then, Peter, you'll know that, and you'll understand it all in the sweet by and by. There are two things in this verse. First of all, there is underlined and underscored our present ignorance asserted. He's asserting to Peter his ignorance now in the present. This goes against the grain for the clever people of the 20th century who think they know everything. But the Lord's saying to us, you don't know everything. You don't understand it the least little bit. He asserts our present ignorance. But he does something more. In this verse, we have underscored and underlined our future knowledge assured. And in this verse, there's not merely the assertion that we don't know what he's doing now, and we cannot understand it. But there is the glorious assurance that someday I'll understand it all perfectly. It's no wonder, my friend, that the saints take up the golden hearts. It's no wonder that the great anthem chorus swells until the vaults of heaven re-echo with the praises of Jesus. Why? Because the saints in heaven, they understand. They have seen the end from the beginning. And today they're blessing the hand that guided. And they're blessing the heart that planned for their throne where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. I want to look for a moment at this, our present ignorance that is asserted. Life is a great mystery. And before us there's a great fog that keeps the future. And it is only as we pierce that fog hour by hour and day by day and week by week, that we find out what's before us. It's a good thing we didn't know in December last year what was going to happen this year, isn't it? It's a good thing that we didn't know the dark valleys or the storms or the tempests or the disappointments or the sicknesses or the sufferings that we were going to have to face. Life is one great mystery. But you know, my friend, it's a pilgrimage. And each day as we go on, the path winds and twists. Sometimes we're going downhill. Sometimes we're going uphill. Sometimes we're in a valley. Someday we're on the mountaintop. And you know, it's hour by hour and minute by minute that life's rugged road unveils itself. And the Lord saying, as we go round the corner and we don't know what's on the other side of the corner, He says, what I'm doing, you don't know now. I'm sure, my friend, you remember Job. It's a great book, Job. You should always read the book of Job when you're in trouble, because Job was in great trouble, terrible trouble. And you know, there were men came to comfort them. We still have the proverb, Job's comforters. And you know, for 7 days there were wise men that never said anything. They kept their mouths closed. And then when they opened their mouths, what fools they made of themselves. You know what they tried to do? They tried to explain to Job how it all happened, and they didn't understand it. I used to think when I was a young minister I could explain things to people. But I discovered that it was utter folly. There's no explanation now, friend. I don't understand why that poor saint of God has a body riddled with cancer and she's down there in life's terrible fever and disease and sickness. I don't understand it. But one day we'll understand. I don't know why the good people of this world are caught and down, and why wicked people spread themselves like a great bay tree. I don't understand them, but praise God, someday I'll understand. I don't know why one kingdom is prosperous and another kingdom is in adversity. I don't understand why one home seems never to have a blast of sorrow and another home is blasted and blighted with sorrow day after day and hour after hour. But praise God, someday we'll understand it all. The Lord's asserting our ignorance. Don't go speculating, friend. Don't go try to explain it. Just leave it in the Master's hand. He's working it all out. He's got His hand upon the helm. Life is a voyage. And my friend, every voyage has its storm. And we have been through, some of us have been through the storms. And we have the marks of the battering upon us. But you know, we didn't sail under our own steam. Ours was a little boat and the stormy sea was terrible. But Jesus was aboard the vessel. We used to sing in Sabbath school with Christ in the vessel, I'll smile at the storm as I go sailing home. And friend, Jesus Christ is aboard the vessel. And we cannot understand. Do you remember the disciples? Jesus went to sleep and the storm came on the sea. And poor Peter and John are in a terrible way and they're feeling the water over the side. And John says, Peter, it's no good. We're going to sink. We're all going to be lost. And they look at Jesus and He's sleeping. Unconcerned. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ had that intimate knowledge that He was in His Father's hand. There's no need to be alarmed. And then when they woke Him, what did He say? He said, you don't need to be alarmed. But for your sakes, not for my own sakes, I'll still the waves. And He stood up in that boat. Have you ever imagined that scene in this great stormy waves lashing against the sides of the boat and the boat almost filled with water and the roar of the thunderous stormy winds? Jesus stands up there in perfect calm. And he says, lie down. Be calm. Be at peace. And the Bible says, suddenly, there was a great calm. I have sailed in life's seas. And I've been in the boat when it has been filled with water. And I've heard the thunder of the storm. And I have been scared out of my wits at what was going to happen. And then Jesus stood up. And he said, you don't need to be afraid. And suddenly, there was a great calm. Isn't that what he did for us when we were in the stormy sea of sin? And when our hearts were broken with the thunders of our own iniquities, Jesus came and he said, be still. And we got the stillness of his forgiveness and the peace of his everlasting pardon. You don't know, he says, what I'm doing, but you'll know hereafter. You know, we have not only the assertion of our ignorance here, but we have our future knowledge assured. When I was in the prison, I was in the garden. I had a garden party every day. And we were sowing seeds. And you know those little seeds, we took them. And we put them into the soil that was prepared. It had to be carefully prepared. I knew nothing about gardening before I went to prison. I know a little now, just a little. So if you want your garden done for the building fund, I'll do it for you. Amen. And I took that little seed, and the soil was prepared, and I buried it. And I could have said to that little seed, you don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to shut you out from the sunlight. I'm going to shut you out from the day. I'm going to bury you deep in the soil. And then I took the watering can and the specially prepared mixture and I poured it over that seed. And that seed was buried in the damp, dark, dismal soil. Didn't know what was happening. And then we put the glass over it and we left it there in the propagating house and with the heat and the sunshine. In a few days' time we saw the little shoots coming up. It didn't know what was happening to it. It was dark and dismal in the prepared soil. And it was baptized with the water. But the sun brought up the shoot. And it wasn't very long until we saw the little flower beginning to grow. And my friend, God has buried us, some of us, in prepared soil. And at times it has been dark and it has been dismal. And at times we wondered why. But then God sends the sunlight. And there comes a day when he says, you didn't know what I was doing. But you're beginning to learn a little that I had my hand in the situation. Mother, you didn't know what God was doing when he took the little one away from you. And your heart was broken. But praise God, you'll know hereafter. You didn't understand, brother, when God took the partner of your life away from your side. But someday, bless God, you'll understand. I didn't know why God would put me in a prison cell and shut me away from my friends and my work and my preaching and my evangelism and my stand for God. But praise God, we'll understand it all. And we're learning a little, aren't we? And we can see through the maze of life's mysteries something of the mighty overworking power, overwhelming power of our sovereign God. You remember Joseph? You know, I have been looking at some of the jailbirds of Scripture to get a little bit of encouragement. And poor old Joseph, you know, he was blessed in his birth. And his father made him a young man of worth in his home, and he put a beautiful robe on him. And how happy young Joseph was doing the father's business in the coat of many colors. But then one day, the cruel hands of his brothers tore that coat off him. And his joy was turned to shame, and his rejoicing was turned to sorrow. And they put him down into the pit. Joseph didn't know what they were doing. And they brought him up, and they sold him as a slave. And he started a menial task in Potiphar's house. And then through his ability and the grace of God, he was elevated. And I'm sure he said to himself, I'm doing well now. I'm the governor of Potiphar's house. All is well. But friend, the discipline wasn't over. It was only starting. And one day he found himself in a worse plight than ever. He was accused of an awful sin of which he was absolutely guiltless. And he was put in a prison. And it says his feet were laid in the irons. Joseph didn't know what the Lord was doing, but the Lord knew what he was doing. What I'm doing to you, Joseph, you don't know now, but you'll know hereafter. And one day the butler and the baker came, and the interpretation was given of their dreams. And Joseph said, remember me. Can you hear that word of agony? He says, please remember me when you get out. Remember, I'm a poor prisoner. Help me. But the man forgot all about him. And then one day, Pharaoh had a dream. What the Lord was doing, Joseph didn't know then, but he knew later on. And they brought Joseph to interpret the dream. And Joseph was made a ruler in Egypt, the prime minister of the land, to bound the senators of Egypt in their own chains and to teach the children of the river Nile the wisdom of Almighty God. And as Joseph sat on the throne, God said to him, Joseph, you didn't know what I was doing, but you'll know hereafter. And Joseph said, Lord, what about my father? I would love to see him. What about my old father? And the Lord said, wait a while, Joseph. And the day of famine came, and the brothers came down to Egypt. And you know the story how Jacob came down to Egypt. Do you ever imagine what a meeting that was when Joseph and his dad met after so long a time? And Joseph's father had long mourned him dead. And I see Joseph putting his arm round his father, and his old father putting his arms round Joseph, and he says, my son, it's really you. What God was doing, Joseph didn't know then, but he knew hereafter. And my brethren and sisters in Christ, I have a message from God for you. Don't despair. God's working out his purposes. Don't be alarmed. God is working out his own will to his own glory. Abel knows now why Cain killed him. Joseph knows now why he was sold into Egypt. Paul knows now why he had imprisonments and buffetings. Peter knows now why he was crucified upside down. Yes, all the saints and the martyrs, they know it now. Praise God, someday we too shall understand. And then shall we know, even as we also are known. Isn't this a great thought? I was at the open grave on Friday, and I saw the coffin lowered into Mother Earth. And as I stood there, there was sorrow, and there was darkness, and there was despair, and there was anguish. And I thought on this verse, what I'm doing, you don't know now, but you'll know hereafter. And one day that dear saint of God is passed on. Someday she'll join the people of God in her own body. She's joined the church triumphant now in heaven. She's spending her first Lord's day in the eternal Sabbath of the glory. But praise God, someday that body will rise again. God will bring it from the dead and stamp upon it immortality and light and glory and make it like unto His own most glorious body. Here's the key. Take it with you. And when life's mystery surrounds you and you don't understand what's happening, just trust in the Lord. I went down to see my father and mother after I got out of prison. And my father gave me a little poem by A.B. Simpson. I want to read it to you this morning. It blessed my heart as I read it. It's entitled, "It Means Just What It Says." There are some who believe the Bible and some who believe a part. Some who trust with reservation, and some with all their heart. But I know that its every promise is firm and true always. It is tried as the precious silver, and it means just what it says. It assures me of salvation through Jesus' precious blood. For the souls that trust His mercy and yield themselves to God. And I claim for myself the promise and just begin to praise. For it says, I am saved by trusting. And I trust just what it says. And it tells me there is cleansing from every secret sin. And a great and full salvation to keep the heart within. And I take Him in His fullness with all His glorious grace. For He says, it's mine for the taking, and I take just what it says. And it tells me He will heal me, and hear my feeblest cry, and that all His royal bounty with all my needs supply. And I seem to know no better than trust Him all my way. For He says, I may trust Him fully, and I trust just what He says. It is strange we trust each other and only doubt our Lord. We will take the word of mortals and yet distrust His word. But oh, what light and glory would shine o'er all our days if we always would remember that He means just what He says. Praise God, He means it. And I believe it. We don't know what He's doing. And you know the best thing about the verse? It's the Lord that's doing it. You know that? He says, I'm doing it. You say, is the Lord opening the prison door? Yes, He is. Is He putting you in? Yes. Is He giving you hardship? Yes, it's the Lord's doing. Why? Our light affliction is for a moment, but it worketh an eternal weight of glory. May God bless our hearts for His name's sake. Amen.